This is a homeboy show.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, good wonderful evening. You got the one, the only Uncle Bill, the thrill. And yeah, I'm James Brown again. Y'all know what that means. I feel good. So, got a couple of surprises for you. Got my oldest boy here. He said, Dad, I need to tell some of these folk about health prevention and stuff and spirituality. I said, say, man, I need to learn some of that. I said, so you get on over here and you get to telling us about health and spirituality. I said, because, you know, it's many days had I taken the time to listen to what doctors were saying and what other people were saying, not the ones that was making money off of me not getting well, but the other folk. But I thought I was the strongest man in the world. Remember, I had Gance and Rance with me. Oh, there you go again. You didn't listen to last week's show, so I'm going to have to tell you who Gance and Rance is. I told you I was born triplets. Me, Gance, and Rance. From the time I could walk to yesterday, I'm just going to stop right there. I had Gance and Rance with me. Arrogance and ignorance. And, man, I'd go to do something good. I'd go to do something good, and Gance would say, man, you don't do that kind of stuff. That was arrogant as hell. Because if it was dirty, ugly, or anything, I wouldn't touch it. And then, you know, ignorance, he stayed up on top. He stayed. Man, you ain't got no business doing that. That ain't going to get you no money. That ain't going to get you no... See, that's what I'm talking about. I had to get rid of them and separate from them as soon as I could. Problem is, you know, they were there to stay. Because, you know, temptation, and if your parents ain't never said, temptations is a booger, they ain't talking about the throat tops and the temptations. they talking about the same thing you talking about right now. That he is ignorant, ain't he? Yeah, that's what it was.
You talking about the fork in the road.
Yeah. Which one of them roads you going down? Ignorance was trying to pick one side, arrogant trying to pick the other, and I'm just there listening. Yeah, you know. So, but it's all good. I know you know what you're talking about now. Because I'll listen now. But suffice it to say, I told my son, I'm going to take a break to get close to the end till we hit y'all with this surprise, what we going to do. Because in our travels, in our journeys, we're both, over the course of the last year, met some very capable people of being acknowledged, and we're not going to do it all tonight. We're going to just touch y'all with the taste of it, with the tip of it, of just telling you all that, you know, there's a lot of people that deserve holding down the fort till y'all got up and running. But guess what? Y'all still not up and running. So we're going to pick some folk to be watched in 2016. And we'd like it. We're not no fortune tellers. We're not no psychics. We're not trying to read the future. But it's some people doing some things that justifiably so let you know that they're going to do something big. And me, myself, my windows of opportunity is getting so low, I probably need something to raise my attention span anyhow. But guess what? We're going to pick you out good, 10 good folk. It ain't going to be this week, but, you know, my son said, Dad, I'm going to come over here as much as I can. I know what that means. Yeah, he don't like chicken either. I don't know about steak. I told him I didn't have no money. So y'all think about it. Y'all get the donations ready because he can talk. But better yet, not let me tell you. Let your own ears tell you. His name is Scooter P. Holloway. He ain't the mouth of the South. That was my daddy. So y'all give him what you think. I holler. I just called him Scooter. Y'all think about it.
Well, thank you, Daddy. I first wanna give thanks to everybody for listening and giving us your attention. Send my blessings out to everybody, all the listeners. I wish you have a very happy holiday and very new year, very prosperous new year. This is Leon Scooter. My people call me Scooter because I like to travel. And as from scooting on my butt to traveling with my cane. Yes, I did say my cane because the year 2011, I lost all my sight. Now, given my age, my agility, I mean, I never thought that I would be in the dark. But I learned. I've always been humble because my dad was, he had visually impairment. So when it finally, I had to man up. In going through this transition from seeing to being blind, I met a lot of people.
Y'all need to go start doing
that.
I told you, sister, y'all over the kitchen because time's gone.
They didn't take advantage of.
Yeah.
You know, good health, or maybe they
sure
didn't. You know, I know, like me, I didn't have faith in doctors as I should have. Speaking of Gans and Rand, you know, so when I got news from the doctor that hey, you need to take this. You need to do this. You're gonna be fine.
Going and get through doing the dishes.
You know. I took his words as it's nothing. But when I was younger, and doctors told me, you know, things like you can't walk, or you won't do this, or physical challenges, and I didn't believe. So, I mean, I guess my point in bringing this up is that as we get older, we have to fight harder in respect to health. You spoke a while ago about the chicken and me and the chicken. And, I mean, over time I started learning that, you know, my discipline is, you know, it used to be just for the kids, but now I got to whoop myself back into shape because sugar, the different meat, it's not as pure as they used to be. The nutrients that I need, I'm not getting. I'm getting filtered. When we combating bad health or poor health or even just getting stronger.
Here you go.
Or eating food that promote good memory. First thing we have to remember is the diet. I learned because I chose to read. And the reading part of learning was my diet. I mean, I stopped reading junk, and I started reading things that was positive. Conducive to, positivity in my life. If I want good health, I got to read books about how much beer I can drink, you know. So with all this knowledge came a sadness, because I mean, I learned that I can't stop some things from happening, like old age. You know, I can't stop. You know, I can't stop my I can't stop my daddy from, you know. But what I can do is serve him and adhere to some information that hinder a lot of.
You want me to touch him?
Lot of us people.
What the fuck is this shit?
And what I mean by us people is people that hear the researchers, doctors, even some of the nurses. That I mean, people give us good advice, and we tend to, you know, shy away because we like to be comfortable. And in our time, things happen for us to be comfortable. Me personally, I didn't take.
I found my lighter.
I was young. I was 30. I didn't think that I would ever. I was Superman Junior. And so when the doctor diagnosed me with glaucoma, I was taken aback. At first, I'm thinking, oh, this is a game. It's a ploy. No, better yet, it's a business. So I looked at that doctor. Every time I went to the doctor as a merchant, and what ended up happening was I caused it myself. The eyesight, the very eyesight that I needed by being negligent, ignorance, and arrogance. But living like that has made me humble because, I mean, I finally met people, old and young, I mean, people that's blind and crippled, people who had good health. And just, I had a friend of mine about a month ago. He died of muscular dystrophy. And I mean, for all these years, he was good. He was normal. He was healthy. And out of the blue, he just got diagnosed and it just went downhill. So I think, I mean, I know that the information, as long as the information is available, we have a way to be able to rise above being ignorant, rise above being arrogant in respect to our health. Because I remember a time in history when the doctor's office was in the kitchen. You know, I remember the church was a good medical place to practice medicine. So, with this being said, we have to pay more attention to our body. If those people at that time lived, you know, many years, and they did medical practices in churches and houses, of a surety, I know we can get a grip. This thing with the diet, I mean, my palate, since I've been over 35, I love some sweets. But it's doing me an injustice.
I'm about to say you sniffling.
I had to learn, tell myself, what is wrong with you? Do you like a thing which is bad for you and dislike a thing that is good for you? I had some Brussels sprouts on my plate one day. I ate three of them. I bought a bag of M&M's and then sure. I mean, one of those $3 bags. I didn't sure. And see, that's the scope of things. The perspective has to change because, I mean, we want to have healthy children. We want to lead by example. And, I mean, if we can, we want to help somebody with our health. I didn't know that, I mean, some of the medicines that worked 10 years ago, they won't be working in 10 more years. A lot of the theories that they have now to treat my disease and any and other people's disease, they won't have that theory in 10 more years. They'll probably be have evolved to another realm. Yeah.
Like,
right now, they have a camera that they implant in the eye, you know, and that's not a cure. That's a crutch. And we know what crutches do. They make you dependent. They have stem cell surgery. Me and a lot of the people that I know that's visually impaired, we talk about, I mean, the possible treatments and cures that's out there for the many eye diseases and trauma to the eye. It's a big thing amongst us, and it's like we have a whole community that we especially share on health matters. New technology that comes out, you know, I mean, we share because anything that can help you get by in a situation when you were blind is like being able to see again. But I think of the treatments that's out there, the shortcuts that would help the persons to see again. And I question a lot of the morality of some things. You know, you have to question the morale of everything. I have gotten real paranoid about checking side effects. I remember a time I just popped the pill, and it's good. Now I became obsessed with, I want to know what are the side effects. I've learned that that's very important. You know, if they tell you that some people don't have a side effect, and you ask them, well, what's the numbers? They might just tell you 99% of the people have side effects, but this 1% don't. You know, I learned that I had to ask for information. And they used to tell me ignorance was bliss, but that's not true. Knowledge is power. How is ignorance bliss? I went to a school where when I looked up on the chalkboard, they had a little picture with an apple and a pencil, and it said knowledge is power. Equate that with ignorance being bliss, and there's a faulty cliche. I say that because, I mean, I want to eradicate all the misconceptions about having faith in your doctor. You know, that's not to say that it's not some Frankenstein doctor out there experimenting with people. But what it is to say is that I doubt that the doctor at the county hospital, or I go to a black doctor. I doubt if he wants a malpractice suit, you know, by not, you know, sharing information or just handing out, you know. So, I mean, I really think it's big in our community that we don't seek enough information. That's second, I think. First thing is diet. Second thing is to seek out information. More information means you empower yourself. You can do things for yourself. You can take care of yourself. The third thing was the doctor talked to me real one day, and he told me, he said, "You coming in here like I'm supposed to fix you, like you're an automobile." And I said, "Well, what is this place for then?" And I mean, I don't know if he just had a bad day, but if the people at the FDA and the medical ethics group, if they heard him, they would have fired him. Because the man just really, I guess he was just tired of being a doctor that day. He told me, he said, "You come up here like I'm supposed to fix you, and you know your body better than I do."
Mm-hmm.
I had to think I wanted to ask him to repeat it, but he probably would have changed his mind. That's like asking a lawyer to tell me what they're talking about back there in the judge's chambers. Mm-hmm. You know, they have a code of silence. So, they speak a language to keep the layman from understanding. If you go to the doctor, they're going to talk in a language, and if you get a clean bill of health, they're going to give you a sugar pill, because it's not befitting that they don't make a dollar off of you. However, you got to know yourself. You got to study yourself. I mean, I had to start, like he told me, show yourself some love. I said, "Well, what you mean?" You know, I'm thinking, come to the doctor more often, because you know they say men neglect themselves more than women. So I'm like, I will come to the doctor. Now he's like, "No, I don't mean that. I mean, give yourself a massage where you can reach. Take time out to meditate." "Do you meditate?" I thought that was something. "Do you meditate? Do you do breathing exercise?" You know, I started to think and I remember I said, "Yeah, you know, you're right." Because when I was a kid, I was twisting my ankle, I shook it off. I had a bloody nose all the time. The emergency room. Got stepped on rusty nails and all kind of different things. Not saying that, I mean, some diseases have evolved since I was a kid. But, I mean, same concept. We have to get the information, you know, that's where the wisdom come in. We got to apply because, I mean, knowing thyself and not doing for thyself, you know you need iron in your diet. I mean, put the potatoes away. I love French fries, but that broccoli, I need that. Those carrots, the beta carotene, I need that. Versus rice. I mean, some of the more starchy foods, you'll find that they are cheaper, lower in cost. That's because when starch hits your body, it turns the carbohydrates to sugar and trick your body into thinking that, I mean, this is sugar. So the effects is still detrimental to you. I really believe that people who live in the South have a better perspective about their diet, because we believe in growing, we believe more in fresh vegetables. We have the means. We see a lot of fresh. I went to New Jersey years ago, and everything is so convenient. Let's say that. I mean, it's not easy to cook every day at home, because everything is canned or processed. You know, the region is overpopulated. I wanted to get back to Texas so bad because, I mean, I could ride by farmers on the side of the road selling their own produce, organic, for a little or nothing. These things is detrimental to people who see that. I mean, when you get to 30, you're getting up in age. Time to know that you have to change the gas. If you're gonna treat your body like a car, you gotta change the gas. Now you gotta stop. Can't be putting the regular in there. You gotta put premium foods. You put premium foods. A lot of time we can't afford it. You know. I mean, I know I'm on a salary cap. So I try tricks to keep myself from wanting more food. I break it down. I do little things. But, I mean, whatever works for you, whatever works, please. I mean, I beg of everyone. I mean, take care of yourself. I put myself out there to tell the world that I was negligent. I learned from experience. You know how they say lessons are bought and lessons are taught. And my dad tried teaching me years. I mean, he gave me his knowledge. But just like any other child, you know, I put away what I wanted, kept what I wanted, and discarded what I thought was disposable. So I ended up having to buy my own lessons. And I'm here before you all today to say that going through something, going through that, it made me a stronger person, a little bit wiser, but it made me a better son, a better father. I feel like I should be an example. You know, before you're told that you're an example, you need to, you know, do better or teach or reach. However, now I feel that it's my responsibility, my duty to reach anybody. People ask me questions about my blindness. I'll tell them. My lasting words are, take care of your eye health. Please take care of your eye health. Get your eyes checked for pressure. Please get your eyes checked. I mean, being visually impaired, for me, I mean, it's not hard. For me. But that's because I'm a pioneer. I'm my daddy's son. But for my friends that I went to school with to learn how to live independently, it was depressing. It was saddening. It was challenging. Some of my friends gave up. Some were old men. Some were young guys. But I mean, we have to remember that other people are out there too, and they suffer because I mean, I was just about to say it, but the Bible says, "For my people perish for a lack of knowledge." And I know that people that's been through tragedy and been through but sickness, they grow from adversity. They grow from that. So I hope that my growth is extended, you know, to people who can, you know, if you have ears, please hear, because I would hate to think that, you know, my struggle is in vain. I take very much pride in giving away a good greeting, a good word, and when you're that kind of person, you got to be in good spirits. I try to exercise. The other part of the best part of my health, and that's being spiritually healthy. And you know, I thank my daddy for that, because I mean, he never bound me by no one thing, and being a follower, he taught me to study, and that in turn got it really grew on me.
Mama and Ben on the way.
The type of person that I try to leave people with a smile. And with that being said, I know Dad, he might want to ask me some questions. So I'm going to let him give me a little dialogue. If there's anything you want to ask, Dad, you can ask me. I'm willing to answer any and all.
Yeah, okay. No questions. All I want to do is hear you tell them how difficult it was to go blind, knowing that the doctor had said, you know, because if they think it's a cakewalk, they gonna take it as such. Mm-hmm. Like when I first had my cancer, I had liver cancer back in. I had liver cancer. I was doctor said I didn't have nothing. As soon as I lost my insurance, he told me, "Oh, you got liver cancer." But you know, and it was devastating, man, because I was waiting on my transplant and everything. I just got back on the list, and I was moving and grooving. I could still run and everything. Nah. But knowing that I had misused my body, done myself a whole lot of injustice, I was devastated to find out I was sicker than what I thought I was. So, yes. You know, it knocked me for a loop. I said, what? And so, almost immediately, as soon as they found out, doctor over at Baylor said, well, when can you come back? I said, right now. Because we were on the phone. Can you come in? Yes, but can I come spend the night?
That's what I'm getting right now. That's what this radio talk show is about.
Didn't know what to do. I was shocked. So people really need to know that if they begin doing some of the things that they take for granted,
yeah,
like get up, go to the doctor, get an eye check,
that's
you
right.
won't have to go back and say, oh, now I need glasses.
Mm-hmm.
No, you will know that as you gradually go to the doctor. Mm-hmm. He will tell you, you know, that it's you're getting old.
Yeah.
You know, next month you might need glasses, you know, something
yeah.
like that. But it's a process, just like it is. So following the profession or age comes a little knowledge. But
yeah.
if you start using that a little earlier, the same purposes catch on.
Yes.
And then, you know, as you grow and go, you'll say, oh, well, wait a minute. I ain't been to the doctor in 6 months. If you got bad eyes,
mm-hmm.
you're going to go to the doctor as often as you can because you want to do better.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, it reminded me of something you had told me a while back. You said, you know, if I knew I was going to live this long, I would have took better care of myself. And that made me think about, man, when I was 20, I broke the golden rule. The golden rule was my mama. And I'm pretty sure my granny and all the women in our family always teach us, don't eat off other people's plate, off their table. Don't stop eating from other people, strangers. Yeah, and see, I made it a habit of that. So it's no coincidence that the fast food, that the all those spices in the realm of food became a problem.
Yep.
It's almost like it became a drug. Because, I mean, the doctor would tell you, I mean, just in comparison to a drug, you tell somebody not to do that because it's detrimental to their health. The doctor tell me, or I know, that the salt is detrimental,
right.
or the sugar is detrimental. You know, I have to be...
That's what you're talking about.
I have to be moderate with my food.
People with the health issues.
So mm-hmm. what I started doing was
healthy,
I started having to pay more attention
don't gain weight and shit like that
to myself.
Bad health. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's
I had
my
to
truth attention you're too skinny.
I can
wrap my arm fucking around him down there twice.
Have to understand that
he has
you have to think about, you know, for the health of the people, because, like, I had a doctor that, that told me that I was borderline diabetic. I couldn't find out that they said, everybody that I knew, they told that. If they wasn't a diabetic, they were borderline.
Not that I know of.
So that learned me that if I don't restrain myself at any time, I could go over. The same way with salt. But these sugars, salt, carbohydrates, they whatever weakness is in your body, they're going to attack that weakness. So if you have poor circulation, you get high blood from being too much salt, then you know how to diagnose your sickness. And I mean, it's like running a test on yourself. Like if they will research you themselves, you have to do this. I mean, it's like guiding myself back to the path that I need to be on. I learned because I was young and eating and doing things, but when I lost my sight,
that's why I told you
awakening. Not only did I have to feed myself, I had to feed myself with all good things. Even though I changed my diet, I changed how, I wanted to rehabilitate myself from being dependent. My health contributed to a lot of me gaining my direction. A friend of mine, he got shot in Iraq and lost his vision. And if he listens, I want to tell my boy Andre, what's up, Andre? He came back. However, his situation is different from mine. He had trauma, whereas I gradually went blind. And what I found was that because his wasn't a health reason, it was kind of hard for him to fix his problem or his body to adapt. You understand? So me being blind is due to health reasons. It could have been some trauma, but it gradually went away, and it helps me. Well, I thought it was hard. His situation is harder.
What broke?
And so what we did was, it was like the old cliche, the blind leading the blind. I would be the blind leader, then him, a girlfriend that I had, Jeanette, and we would all walk in the line like a train.
And Michael and them ain't played the game when they got back.
However, it was literally blind leading the blind. I mean, I thought the blind leading the blind was ridiculous. Jeanette, if you out there, if you could say something, you know about the blind leading the blind. If you out there say that you know about the blind leading the blind, they want to hear, the people want to hear you.
I'm out here.
Oh, that's
what you mean, you out there. You can't talk right to me while ago. Talk right now.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Shanice Simpson, a really good special person to me. It's her birthday today, December the 19th. And so the people, wish the listeners, please wish her a happy birthday. She's a young chick.
Lady on the street with the word.
A tender. So, yeah, she's been really volatile in helping me progress. I mean, I was about to be finished with my training, and she came along and really took the scope off of myself and made me realize that it's people that I have to reach. I have to do something. I can't just go home and be blind and sit on my butt. You know? I have to say, it's a little kid somewhere that has the courage that your son had. But if I'm locked away in some room, then he'll never know that he could make that tangible.
You're giving yourself a
pity card. Yeah. So, I mean, I have in some cases been too aggressive. I have, you know, had my pity fits. I done had some fits where I've really, you know, I kind of challenged the people that care about me. Because, you know, I'm not going to tell you that living in the dark is not sad some days, because, you know, I want to tell my daddy how good he looked, how sharp his tie is, you know. I just have to let him know that in a different way. And hope that he grabs from my perspective how I thank him. The most part. Interaction with, or just really being myself, and challenging myself to get up, get out, and do something. I had to start doing better with my health. You know, it was one time I was 180. Then it was one time I was, you know, I died so hard that, I mean, I lost weight to where I didn't feel like I wanted more weight, you know. I feel fine, you know. But I say that because it gets hard. As you go through life, it gets hard. And my remedy nowadays is, you know, I try to help somebody by leaving them with a good word. I mean, I don't have nothing but the information. Yeah. Well,
give them a good word. Give them a prayer.
My good word today is, I guess it'll be a Bible scripture that I love. It's Proverbs 27:17, and it states, iron sharpens iron. So does a person sharpen the countenance of another. I leave all the listeners with that, and I'm going to let my daddy take off with the commentary. And I thank you all for your and talk to you next.
Talk to you next.
Okay.
Shalee?
Jeanette, I mean, you know, I'm always, I got a whole lot of nephews, so I'm always thinking about your nieces. You know what I'm saying? You're a kid. Jeanette, great you called in. I want you to know, I really think Andre put a smile on his face. But we also have on the line with us the lady on the street, green, of five dollars in the world. And I'm pretty sure she would like to say, she's been waiting a long time. Is the guru still there?
Yeah, I haven't been waiting a long time. I was just listening to your son speak. I enjoyed him. You know, what he was saying was very, very true, and, you know, the sincerity and the wisdom and getting it from your point of view first, because you had already spoken to me about him, and, you know, I already know so many members of the family anyway, and then just listening to him sound like, you know, his cousin, my best friend, Pam, and then also Wade, Eric. You know, I know so many members of the family, and
right.
He just fit right along in there, you know, with the family and the sincerity, and then going through the cataract surgery myself and actually having a temporary bout with my vision, you know, was, it was unimaginable and unbelievable. But to hear him, Scooter, I admire you for that. To hear you say some of the things from your heart, it just makes people, especially myself, think about it very, very seriously, and you know, I feel you, and I know that even though mine was temporary, I had so many bouts of depression during a period of time before my insurance was able to get my cataract surgery and assist me, and just listening to you just speak about moving on regardless, and I know that that's part of what I have to do, because even right now I have the uveitis, and there's, you know, some medicines that are being changed up and different things like that, and that's just the vision. But then listening to you, you give a more credibility to a physical vision and a spiritual vision. Because Proverbs 29:18 say, where there is no prophetic vision, people perish.
Right.
And
right.
When you have your spiritual vision, that supersedes the physical vision. And for someone who still has their physical vision, it's easy for us to say. But in reality, listening to you speak those prophetic words and the things from your heart, it really brings it home. And so, really, yeah, I know myself have had visual problems, and your dad has them, and you have them. I don't know who else may have them that's listening, but it bring it to home for us, especially, I know, and then the people that are surrounding us. They love us. It brings it home to them, of course, too. But that's part of what I wanted to say. And I don't know if you still want me to give you. I have two people that I want to tell you that I'm going to be looking out for this coming year.
Yeah, you can get their names and what it is, but you get them to email them to me.
Uh-huh.
I'll put them at the top of my list when we do them all next week.
Well, I sure was thinking about it when you
are.
What two
you got?
Huh?
What two you have?
What's that? Two politicians, and that's what came to my mind after you had asked me about that. There's two politicians that I'm going to watch. They running against each other, so that's going to give you the reality of who they are anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's two of them. What's that song say? Somebody got to win and somebody got to lose.
Yeah, and
so when you ask me that question, I've been talking to you about it anyway, about what that outcome may be. And so when you ask me the top two, because, you know, I watched that Barbara Walters special, you know, I was looking at who she had.
I
had some of them, the young black lady that's, one of the top ballerinas.
I knew her.
And what she went through. You know, they had Tracy Morgan. Misty Copeland. Tracy Morgan. They had quite a few. I wrote some of them down. I'll give you send you the list of the ones that I wrote down. I think I may have came in and missed two of them, but I think I have eight of them. They had that young lady that just won that. What they do, the kickbox or whatever, they know, she was on there, and shoot, it was just a few more people. I can't just
by listening, but I missed it because I wasn't on the show. I was looking. What we're gonna do? We're gonna hold that off next week. We're gonna pick three.
Okay.
And those are going to be the ones for us to watch. We're going to try to get information on them and put them on the website. And say they are our people to watch in 2016.
Okay. Okay.
You'll have 10 people to watch. And I'm going to tell you, mine's going to shock a whole lot of
people. Well, that's a good thing. Shocking is good.
Hopefully, it's a great thing, especially if they come through.
well.
Anyway, you ain't no fortune teller. I don't know, but I believe.
You didn't put yourself.
No, there's a lot of people you can see in their walk, in their talk, you know.
You didn't put yourself in there, I know.
Oh, no, I am not selfish like that. But, you know, I thought you would. But we'll need enough of that. But,
I used to be.
It's kind of self-explanatory, you know, that don't know that they deserve to be highlighted. I want to see the shock on their face when he comes back to him and see how they respond.
Oh, okay. Good.
So, you know he's going to get out. I got a great Facebook page.
Yes, shock value.
Yeah. And I saw that LinkedIn endorsement.
Of course. I was telling you, I was running into a lot of people that I know through that LinkedIn.
That's a little thing.
Yes, it's getting real. It's getting deep.
Yeah, well, see, as you get to expose your mind to it, it gets a lot deep. And, you begin to say, the folks thinking like I'm thinking. See, that's what it's all about. Marketing, it's ideas meeting the pages of a newspaper, screens of a television set, and all of that. So, It's all about the imagination.
Right. You're right.
And Uncle Billy Elg a lot of people.
Right.
I read so many books for many times when I was young. Started to be a library.
There was no concept of germ theory.
So with that, I think my time is all moved up. I just want to tell everybody it was a great evening. I really enjoyed the show, and I learned a lot more about people than I thought I would.
Especially my number one. Yep.
My number one kind of laid me not when we get back on the air for a minute.
Yes, sir.
You know how they didn't used to want to follow Red Fox?
Yeah.
I didn't want to follow Scooter.
I'm gonna brush up,
and I'll be better next time.
Right. And he put a little, made you have to sweat a little bit. You gotta get
better. Yeah, yeah. You know. He put a little fear in my heart. That was the name of the show tonight. What are you afraid of? Now I know what I'm afraid of.
Oh, okay. Cause I missed. All right. Let me get that title. I got you now. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Wow.
So be that what it may. I'm not afraid anymore. And guess what?
What's that?
I just want to tell y'all. Holla.
Holla. Good night.
Mr. Queen for that 16. I'm out of here.
Next time.
Miss Guru, you know it was a great night. I saw you when you came in, and I knew you would bring the candles and started something with me and my friend. I'll talk with you later. trying to get me mixed up. I hear you.
Good night, y'all.
Good night.
Oh, have a great
night. Good night, Coda.
Good night.
Shanette?
Yes.
This is your Uncle Bill talking. Have a great evening. And I'll speak with you later.
All right. Holla.
Holla. Have a great one.
Yeah, that was pretty good. That was pretty good. Cotton dog, you pushing.